Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good.
We are just gathering in here. Sorry, we're a few minutes late. Rob's finishing up a client call right now. He'll be on here shortly.
Hey, good. Yeah, I was getting worried. I was okay.
Yeah, sorry. I sent you an email. I'm not sure if you got it, but it was at the last minute, so I apologize.
Yes. Okay. I'm just going to call and confirm that all that stuff's done. That's what deadlines are all about, right?
That's right. We like to push it right up to that deadline.
All right. Well, have a good afternoon, good dinner, and I will chat with you tonight after you see the pictures. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we are all here now.
Sorry about that, Rob. The classic, I need 1 minute.
Yeah, I know. I know. I got your email with roles with your business plans on them. Now I can't find them. You just sent them, right, at 401 or something?
Yeah, I just sent them.
That's nothing. I can't find them. I have Sean look over my shoulder and watch where I store it. No, okay, Sean, where's this on my computer? I have no idea.
You've got the most disorganized computer in the world. I'm like, you know my computer is disorganized?
You think? Thank
you.
Sean,
did you get anything? No. It had to do with the fact that I had you locked up for. I had Googled you to see if you had sent me the homework. I'd searched for you. And it only was searching for past emails. Now I went back, cleared it, and there you are.
All right.
All right, good. This is great. Well, tell me about the experience and what did you learn?
Start.
I think the leader should start.
Rob, this is Sean. I would say generally we came to a consensus pretty close, except for I think a couple of them.
Yeah.
We were right on target. We had all scored essentially in the same general area. I think there was the leadership, I think, and the marketing were the two that we were slightly off on in terms of a consensus. But through our conversations and through our deliberations, I think we got to where we ultimately wanted to be. And I haven't had a chance to read all of the business plans yet, but for the most part, I think we're ready to move forward. It was an interesting conversation, I think, more so around the marketing. I had a little bit more. I had a lower score than I think most folks at the table, typically surrounding around our ability to partner with other folks around the bank. That's been a point of consternation with the group. It's an area that we're lacking in. Rob and I had lunch yesterday with essentially our only one partner right now on the banking side who is delivering any sort of referrals in any meaningful way. And we are looking to expand that, and hopefully this introduction of the Supernova and the service model will help that, because we are telling everybody who has two ears that our new service model is in full effect.
Wonderful. Wonderful. In terms of roles and responsibilities, did you adjust anything, or did anything come out that where you felt clarified or confused, or how did that discussion evolve over time?
You know, Rob, this is Rob Reich. What I would say is I thought that the best thing about the conversations were is I think we were all extraordinarily direct and candid. And everybody came into it the spirit of this is going to make us better and stronger. So we're all, you know, want to be really frank about where we're at and where we're headed. And we got the benefit of everybody in the group. And I don't think that we've ever done that before, because I think a lot of times it's been me scratching on a pad, or maybe me and Sean, or sometimes we'll call Claudia in, and then we'll just say, hey, this is what we think we ought to do. So I was excited by the candor, by the energy and dedication around getting the jobs done, and also by the fact that the team's got a lot of really, really good ideas, and that clearly we're much better in a collaborative process than we are in kind of a siloed process.
And this is Claudia, and I'll just add, I think, oh, sorry, go ahead, Rob.
No, I'm excited to hear that, because, look, this is the reality of teams, right? Teams that collaborate and utilize each other are fabulous. Teams that just, you know, take orders from the top guy and just do their jobs are okay, but there's no incremental increase from the fact that you're a team. You're not leveraging the creativity of everybody on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was hoping we'd get out of this. Congratulations. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Claudia. All I was going to say is I think we continue to gain more clarity, I guess, around where the roles and actual responsibilities are falling. I think we still have some work to do on that, but this exercise is certainly helping in terms of who's going to have ownership where, which I think is something we've always kind of struggled to not complete the task in the past, but to really identify who's responsible for what. I think we've always kind of struggled around roles and responsibilities and defining everybody's jobs, and I think this probably has gotten us a lot further than anything else we've tried in the past few years.
Because it puts a deadline on it.
Hey!
4 o'clock deadline, we got it done at 4:01.
We've got weekly homework. We're going to get that done.
Well, you know, God bless you. That's why, you know, people say, you know, it's a week enough to get through Supernova each week. You know, are you giving them enough time? Shouldn't it be every 2 weeks? I said, if I gave them 2 weeks, it would take 6 months to get through the program. This way we can get through the core of Supernova in 3 months. And then we use the next 9 months to really solidify all the different pieces that we frankly didn't get to. And if you're up and running completely, then we go to the advanced Supernova program, which is really fun and where we really spend more time on case study work and solving individual problems on the team. So that's where, you know, we never get to in most cases because we just don't have time. Anybody else on the team that kind of found something about their role or about the process that they found enlightening, helpful, awakening, you know?
Hi, Rob. This is Tara. I think something that I learned by doing this is that I don't think we have a lack of people wanting to do work around here. I think this will just kind of stovepipe us into our roles to take care of our own business and not overlap. So I think it's we don't have anybody not willing to do work. I just think we're all willing to do everything, and we're kind of crossing over, and this will help us definitely organize our day and our objectives.
That's really good. One of the most important things you can do for each other during the day is to leave each other alone. This is particularly helpful for the support staff. So if you can organize yourself around your roles and responsibilities, know what you have to get done, and then let people do their job and not interrupt them, you're going to have a big increase in productivity. I mean, think about, and that was one of the things that that I really worked on when I was with my advisors in my office was to, and that's why Supernova works so well, is that there's nobody walking in, there's nobody calling in, there's no interruptions, everything is scheduled, there's no phone tag, there's going to be a few people rescheduling, but it's going to be minor, and so the staff, the team that's doing this work can do their work, not be interrupted by, oh my God, get this for me, such and such, John Smith is coming in, I got to have this report ready for him, which destroys your day. And you know, as an FA, which I was, we go home, we're fine. But what we figured out is our CSA didn't get the work done because you're interrupting her or him all day. So I think that's just one of the benefits of this. And when you know that another person is working on marketing and they're getting ready for the Friday meeting, you're going to leave them alone and let them get ready so that they have something constructive to say. And you're also your teammate, you know. So when you are successful in your marketing effort that week, you share with them what you've done, and they're going to be all excited for you, instead of them just being excited for themselves, as they're in charge of marketing. So when you do your planning and you go to your planning vice president and say, I did two plans this week, you know, they'd be like, wow, awesome, because that's getting their job done. And when you put it all together, everybody's getting their job done through cooperation and leverage of each other's skills. And the more we can become specialists in our area of expertise, the better off we'll do. I mean, think of it as almost a military unit where everybody is always ready to step in to help the other guy, but you're the guy that's in charge of this particular. You know, you're in charge of explosives. You're in charge of the Browning automatic. You're in charge of, you know, you're the medic. You know, so everybody's got their role, but anybody can step in and cover for the other guy because you're all cross-trained and everything. So I think that, you know, ER rooms are particularly good at this. Military organizations are particularly good at this. But we typically, in the financial services industry, grew up as individuals simply doing our job with an assistant. We never really learned how to specialize and to leverage ourselves in the market. So now you've got your business plan. Now the question is, how do we report out on this? So you guys understand that and understand it's very simple. It shouldn't be complicated, but, you know, it, like with all business plans, we put it in the drawer, it isn't worth anything. It's got to be out and working all the time. So how are you going to make it work?
Rob, this is Rob Reich. One of the things that I thought about is I started to draft and put together on paper the ideas that I had, and you know, there's some more timelines and deadlines that I wanted to put on things. But at one point when Sean and I were really struggling to get ourselves organized and stuff, frankly, before anybody on this team was here, we spent a lot of time and worked on, David Allen, I guess, wrote Getting Things Done. And one of the things that he used to talk about to move a project forward is what's the next physical action that you're going to take to do that. And these guys all know that I love to read, and one of my favorite Einstein quotes is nothing happens until something moves. So one of the things that I thought about as we go through these is each of us getting together and sharing our plans and then talking about what are our goals and our objectives for the next 2 weeks, for the next 30 days that we're going to try to accomplish. And then be able to identify that and articulate that, and then, you know, develop a system where we report out and, you know, have a, you know, a path that we're all going to hold each other accountable. And to your point, I think before, you know, I always say clients planning is a process, it's not an event. For us, business planning has been an event. As you said, most of the times it's something we do to get a manager off our back, or we're having a particularly bad 30 or 60 days and we say we're going to do this and we do it and go like crazy. Business gets back up and rocking and rolling, and then we say, okay, well, it's back to normal operating procedure. So I think saying, you know, if I say I've got to develop more external COIs, I think I need to be able to say, and to do that, I'm going to try to meet most all of the COIs of our clients, and I've picked out two COIs that I'm going to call this week and try to get a meeting with, and then these are the two that I'm going to call next week. And my hope is that by the time we get back here in 4 weeks, I have sat down and had lunch, coffee, or something with three or four external COIs. And I think that's very easy to hold me accountable to, and I think it will drive action.
All right, so here's your homework now, the next step. All right, the next step is to is create a Monday meeting. Pick the time for you, that you guys, you probably have a Monday meeting now. But pick a time, let's say it's 11 o'clock Monday morning, right? And at that meeting, what I want is for each person to report in on how they've done in terms of activity. All right? I'm not interested in that meeting on results of the activity, meaning if you met with two centers of influence, you did your job. All right? That's what you set out to do, and that's what you did. The Friday, I want you to have a Friday meeting where each person, each of the vice presidents stand up, and they report in on how they did versus their goals as set forth. So let's say we have a monthly goal of reaching this objective. We break it down into weekly goal, and then we report in on how we're doing in terms of results. So the Friday meeting is all about results. All right? The Monday meeting is all about activity. And if we get the activity right, we're going to get the results. And that's where, you know, the two have to be tied together in terms of I'm not getting the results, therefore the activity has to be either better, more focused, or more often. So Monday is mostly about marketing. It's really mostly about marketing. But it can be about, you know, where Tara might be reporting in on all the appointments that, you know, I wanted to schedule. Our goal this week was to schedule, you know, X number of appointments. I was able to schedule X. So I wanted to schedule 20. We scheduled 20. It was perfect. That's probably not going to always ever happen where you want to schedule 20 and you schedule 20. You're going to want to schedule 20 and you scheduled 18. But you get credit for that, Tara. So everybody gets credit for the activity that they're engaged in. And that's the game board or the giving board. And mostly it's we're focusing in, and the reason we're leaning towards calling it the giving board is because that is a board where we're really giving of ourselves. We're setting up meetings with centers of influence. We're helping people. We're meeting with our clients. We're meeting with prospects. We're doing a lot of giving. We're setting up appointments with people. Everything we do to give somebody a better experience is moving us towards the eventual goal of getting, right? But what I want you to focus on is giving and really track that. And there's no limit to the amount that you can give. Meaning I gave out 4 referrals this week. Well, that is huge because that creates, in the rule of reciprocity, an unbelievable amount of future revenues. You planted the seeds. And the problem most advisors have is they don't plant enough seeds and they just want to harvest. And so what we're going to do is concentrate on the Monday morning and all the seeds we're planting. And then the Friday meeting is, okay, how's it working out? You know, so the vice president of marketing says, you know, we opened up 3 accounts, we brought in $30 million, we did this and this. Everybody's, you know, doing great in their activities, as we talked about in the Monday meeting. Vice President of Planning might have activities around presenting financial planning to 5 different clients. Great. But at the Friday meeting, he said, we did 5 plans. Great. Okay, so there ends up being accountability, but I like the idea of separating the two because I want you to engage in activity without the threat of it not working. You know, people don't engage in enough prospecting activity because of rejection. Well, if our whole meeting is about activity, there is no losing. There is no rejection. There is no bad things that are happening. If you met with centers of influence, you did your job. If you engaged in a mastermind group, you did your job. That's the idea. If you met with your clients, you did your job. That whole meeting is about increasing activity and giving, which will eventually result in getting. Any questions on that and how those two things look? The reality is if somebody does something really well, you're all going to celebrate it Monday. But the idea is to try and make Monday not about, you know, how many accounts did you open this week?
Yeah, that makes really good sense because I think that's what we need to do. We need to be more focused on the activities and know that if we do enough of the right activities, we're going to get the right results. We had become masters over the last couple of years at looking at a game board and figuring out how we can wring the greatest number of results out of the smallest number of activities. And, you know, that's caught up to us.
Yeah, that's very efficient. Okay, and you're going to have efficiencies, meaning if I put a $5 million prospect that's referred to you by a CPA that you know personally, your probabilities of closing him are about 90%, and it may only take 2 meetings, maybe only 1. All right, that's efficiency. All right, that is a great thing to measure. All right, so that's smart. That's good business. But what if we met with 5 people this week that all were in those categories? We'd do 5 times as much business, right? And so that's the idea. I completely understand exactly what you're talking about. I mean, we get so busy and so crazy that in terms of closing, that, you know, we're not measuring our activity. So we diminish our activity and try and wring out as much revenue as we can from each situation. That's all we care about is revenue. So in this case, what we're doing is putting the client in the center and saying, how can we service the client? And the client in this case is a center of influence. It's a real client of ours. Whoever it is, how are we giving to them? How are we helping them? How are we making their lives better? And let's measure that, okay? We're going to take, you know, a chapter out of the Go-Giver, the book, and we're connecting people. You know, give yourself credit when you introduce two people that should know each other. I've got one FA that's really struggled with his acquisition. And I said, your goal this month is to just track all the good things that you've done for clients. And I want you to quadruple the amount of good things you're doing for people. I don't care if it's for your wife or your kids. I said, I want for your clients, for your prospects, your connecting people. You're just going to be the greatest guy in the history of the earth for a month. But I want you to do it intentionally. I want you every day to get up and say, who am I going to help today and how am I going to give? And that's what we really want to do with this giving board. When you are completely in that universe of giving, you're kind of in an enlightenment state of selling. It's different from anything you've ever done. Completely selfless. And all you're thinking about is giving all day. Who are we going to help? How are we going to make their lives joyful and better? And one of the things I said to him was, look, you know, they asked this guy, how was he so successful in his marriage? After 45 years, they were both so happy. He said, I didn't keep track of what I did for my wife. All I did was try to make her happy all the time. And so many marriages are just simply contracts of, you know, wait a minute, I've done this for you, you should be doing that for me. And that's not the way we should live as human beings. We should try and make our others happy all the time. And that's how we gain the greatest joy in life, is through giving. So this is kind of a, frankly, very evolved kind of marketing. And I think you're going to enjoy the heck out of it. I know, I mean, everybody on the team can do this, by the way. This isn't restricted to any particular person. Everybody every day can come in and put on the board things that they did to make lives better, even if it's not even a prospect, even if it's not even a client. What if it's just the person in the office? What if it's the manager? What if it's you're making lives better every day, and guess what? You become that fabulous team that everybody wants to work for, and that fabulous team in the office that, just everybody admires. And guess what that means? Everybody's going to want to refer to you. You're going to become a magnet of business. People are drawn to people that are really helpful and nice and caring and giving. And that's the person you always wanted to work for. That's the person that, you know, you want to live with. You know, that's the people that we want to always be, but we don't take time for it. So that's what the giving board is all about. And just really have fun with it. I think it'll be a blast. I've been practicing it. It's really hard. I've been doing polishing silver for my wife, and it's kind of crazy, you know, when you think about it. What did I do today to make somebody's life better today? So I call people and I check up on them and I, you know, I just do things that you do for a friend, and it's amazing how you know, it's not easy. All right. You didn't expect to hear this today, right?
Great.
No, but it's good. And I would tell you, I think that this fits in with the personalities of the team. I was out in California or somewhere, and I think it was Sean or Claudia, I don't remember, who sent me an email and said, hey, listen, we've got some tickets to the ball games coming up, and we don't have any clients, and you're away, and Sean's busy, and this, that, and the other thing. So we're going to give them to the local police department and just tell them, hey, we appreciate all the things you guys do for us. And I thought, God, that's a genius. That is a great idea. You know, that's something they did. You know, we're not going to publicize that. Nobody's going to write that up or do anything about it. But so I think this is a team that will take to that, like, fish to water.
Good. So
I guess it was Tara's idea.
Sean's idea.
It was Sean's idea. Sean thought he was going to get one of those little stickers in the back of his window that inoculated him from traffic violations.
The winner.
It'll come.
Now, guess what? You know, there is truly karma in life. You know that. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you're, it's all about attitude and expectations. And when you're expecting good things to happen, guess what? They happen. When you expect people to be nice, they're nice. When you go into a meeting and you expect to close, and that guy's going to do everything you tell him, he doesn't. It's just the way your brain is wired, that you care about people and you think they're wonderful and they're going to like you and trust you and do business with you. So when we're meeting with clients about Supernova, go into every meeting as if the client is going to go wild over it. They're just going to think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you do it that way, that's the way they will react. All right, so especially with clients. Now, you know, we always have clients that are on the fence about, you know, their relationship with you. I mean, you may not have that many because you have, you know, you only have 80 clients. But typically there are some that are on the fence. And with those, I think we talked about it the last time, where we had a couple of curmudgeons and a couple that just, you know, they call too much and they're pain and all that. Go into those meetings with the good news, telling them how wonderful things are going to be, but tell them exactly what their role in the relationship and what their, how it's going, you expect them to make things happen. And that they have a role just like you do. Your role is to call them. Their role is to be there. And not, frankly, not call in between unless it's an emergency. And you know, people say, well, you know, I think I'm going to fire this guy. I said, why don't you go in as if the guy's going to love this and do exactly what you tell him? Then you've got the possibility of returning a guy that's already a client into a great client. And if he's not going to buy it, guess what? He's going to say, no, I don't think this is right for me. And you say, well, then, you know, I just don't think this is a good match then. So you had a couple of tough ones, as I recall. How did those go? How did those conversations go?
The conversations went great. But it's like, I think it's maybe like, you know, trying to train a dog a trick. You know, you can't just show it to them one time and they take right to it. I think that when we talked to the ambassador and explained to him what we were going to do, how we thought this was going to meet some of the needs that he talks about on a pretty regular basis, and how it was going to allow us to be much more efficient and take better care of him, I think he liked what he heard, but it's hard for him not to pick up the phone and call, because I think I hear these guys saying he's called a couple of times.
Yeah, Rob, this is Sean. Rob and I were in the meeting together, and I think the most beneficial part of the meeting was that his wife was there, and she, I think, would absolutely go into the 12-4-2 model, you know, wholeheartedly. He's the one that's going to be more difficult to get fully implemented there. So that's going to be, I think, our challenge is to get him there. But as Rob said, it's probably going to take, you know, a couple of times getting this thing implemented over maybe a three-month period. At least give it that amount of time to work.
And I think he has to see some successes. I mean, again, to be honest with you, or just the market is what it is, the guy came in 2 years ago, and until a couple weeks ago, he hadn't made any money. And I think, you know, when you thought you were going to earn 6% a year and you haven't made any money in 2 years, you're more inclined to call more often than not.
Right. And, you and I know people that trade too much lose money. It's one thing to not make money, but it's another thing to lose money. And lose a lot of money when you trade too much. So, you know, and we're just starting to see the earnings. You know, the market is driven by earnings. The market got a little ahead of itself in the recovery. The earnings had to catch up. Now the earnings are starting to lead the market again. And, we're, you know, regardless of the last couple of days, I think we're in the middle of another earnings-driven move in the market, which will take care of the last 2 years. And that's what you got to tell people. You know, you got to be patient. These things happen. You know, it stays flat for 2 years, and all of a sudden we get a move. And meanwhile, you're shorting the market or you're selling options on something, and it goes up 50 points, you know, and you miss the whole move.
Right.
So you really have to, people that do supernova do better in performance-wise than people that don't. And the reason is because you're calling them regularly, not too often, regularly. So you're paying close attention to them, but not over-trading them. So you don't miss things, but you will overdo things. You know, people have made the most money in the market is by buying great companies and holding them forever, and then buying more great companies.
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing I think that the supernova has given us an opportunity to do is to talk about the clients about how we're going to create a systematic approach to them in service, but then say also talk to them a little bit about how we have also created a lot of discipline, systems, and processes around the investment process, and the fact that in the same way we've got defined call times and this, that, and the other time thing, we've got defined areas where we'll buy a stock, a defined area where we think the stock might be getting a little bit of overextended. And interestingly enough, the area that clients seem to like the most, and it rings the truest with them, is to say, you know, one of the things Sean and Claudia also do is they put a watch level on a stock that says if we got into it at 40 and it gets to, you know, 32, we really are, you know, 36, whatever it is, we really need to stop and ask ourselves, did we make a good decision or did we make a bad decision? Because if we did, you know, your first loss is your best loss. Let's get out and move on down the road, and we'll have that conversation with you and then be done with it. And so I think the whole notion that clients see a much more disciplined, organized, systematic approach to everything about their money really makes them feel good.
That's really important. And I don't teach, you know, supernovaing your investment process per se, but that's what you're doing. Getting rid of the outliers, the tails, the, you know, the, well, we'll just do it this way for this one guy. No. We do it the same for everybody with that investment objective. And guess what? Our performance improves. So, yes, absolutely. Way to go. That's great. Now, we're kind of, you know, we've worked on some team dynamics here and some things that I think are really important, and I'm really excited about you guys and what we're doing. What we're not doing is we're not covering some of the details that are in each week. I hope you're comfortable kind of doing that from the video and the workbook, where we're spending time on the kind of on the team. This week is focused on, you know, what goes in the folders and things like that. Guys, you can read that, right? You can do that yourself. If you have questions on the content of the week, please ask it. I'm not adverse to teaching this information, but I'm much more excited about the team taking on roles and responsibilities, getting organized, leveraging the team, and having you really use Supernova effectively. And the problem with the coaching model as it is, this game board or the giving board and the scoreboard doesn't really come into play until week 11 and 12. And I think you need it right now. And I'm convinced that you guys are in a position to take advantage of this, the kind of the symmetry of this particular way we've gone about introducing the team organization pieces, and that can be more important to you as a team than what goes in each folder.
Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Reich, and I think that that's absolutely 100% true for us, because I think our biggest problems have been getting to where you're getting us now to talk about roles, responsibilities, getting these candid conversations and things going. And, you know, frankly, I've read Supernova a couple times. I guess I should buy a couple copies of the book so everybody has one. But my thoughts on the folder are, I would like, you know, Tara and Marina to kind of sit down and say, okay, guys, this is what's going to be in them. This is what you can expect, so on and so forth. But Sean and I think, just need to understand the very basics of it. I don't want to spend a bunch of time looking at how a folder gets done.
I want no time.
Right. So, you know, you're going to work with the folder, and then you're going to say, you know, I prefer it to be this way or that way, and you can adjust it as you go. But I agree. Once we get these roles and responsibilities, let the people do their jobs. You know, you do your job. Let other people do their job. Let them have the you know, conversation on how to use the scheduler with Cindy. Build the folders, put the contents in there. You know, check with you, make sure it's something that you want. But go ahead, let everybody do their job. And you guys, because here's what I used to do. This is what we used to do. We used to go through the workbook item by item. And the problem I found was that the only people, like during this section, it's all about the folders, right? And it's all about using the scheduler and organizing the 1242. Well, that all falls to one or two people on the team. And so the rest of the team was completely disengaged. With the way we've done it today, we have this parallel track where we're getting organized on the service side, but we're also getting organized on the leadership side, the marketing side, the planning side. Everything is getting organized together, and everybody has roles and responsibilities with a mini business plan now on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And then with today's lesson, you even have the accountability meeting set up that you're going to start meeting about those things. And so it's not going to be everybody watching one person dig a ditch. Everybody's working together to build this thing simultaneously. And everybody understands what the other person's job is and their role and responsibility. So very exciting, much more interesting, and much less boring than, you know, everybody sort of goes to do their thing while, you know, Tara or, you know, Claudia, you know, these guys go out and build the folders, you know. So it's, so this is much more fun, I think.
Great.
All right. So good. Have some fun with that. So take your business plan now and break it into, this is what I want to get done for the year. This is what I need to get done each month. And then this is what I need to get done each week in order to reach my goal and close this gap. And then plan on that Monday meeting and the Friday meeting, and how are we going to report on those things. We have examples of the game board and examples of the scoreboard in the book or in the workbook. But if you want to play with it and then come back to me with what it looks like, I'd love to see it, okay? What you guys want individually for that. And anytime you have questions on the folders or the scheduler, please call Cindy. She can help with that, or email me, and I'll help with that. But so we're drinking from a fire hose here, but I think it's very exciting, and you're certainly not going to be bored with the coaching.
Not at all. And you know, Rob, I'm going to tell you one last thing before we hop off of here. Sean loves Supernova, and if you never need an advocate or somebody, He and I were talking the other night. He said, I've been trying to get you to use paper folders for 10 years, and I think I've probably watched you spend $50,000 to $75,000 on Brokers Ally, Consultants, Pareto, Act, Salesforce, and on and on and on and on. And he said, isn't it funny? The system we all decided works well is paper folders and Excel. So you were like Sean's biggest I told you so of our entire relationship.
That's great. All right. Well, you know, the truth is that we've tried everything, and guess what? This is old reliable. This is something that just works and works and works, and I still use them for myself. I use the computer, and I use other things, but this is something that just, you know, it just works. So what the heck? Let's use what works.
Right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.